And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM. And today our guest is going to be anti-war activist Sarah Flounders. Sarah wrote an article that achieved wide circulation, like many of her articles. This one was called Charlie Hebdo, The Free Press and Racism. And it was putting into perspective the international media focus on the massacre of 12 journalists in Paris. So, Sarah, I wanted to thank you very much for being on our program today.
Thank you. It's good to be here talking.
Well, I, like many others, read your article, and I thought it encapsulated a lot of things that should be discussed. Now, the killings of journalists is a monstrous act, and unfortunately, the way this event is being used and the backstory to these events needs to be investigated very critically. And, you know, I think first you made it clear that in the eyes of the French media and in the international media, some lives seem to be worth more than others. Right now, there's been for some number of days now a televised mourning of the journalists at Charlie Hebdo. For example, this summer, there was not a similar mourning for the 15 journalists that were killed in Palestine this summer. And we're being told now that we have to deal with a very serious free speech issue, and everyone is rallying around the cry of free speech. Yet France does not allow free speech. It doesn't really allow a dialogue about the cartoons, for example, and other subjects. I'm wondering if you could tell us about the cartoons by Charlie Hebdo and the reaction that they had engendered in France and among others in the past few years.
Thank you for this opportunity, because this is an important question to really challenge the very idea that this is an attack on free speech and what, in fact, free speech is, which does not exist in France or in the U.S. or Canada. It's corporate-owned media that decides what lives matter, what issues matter, and what is hidden and covered up. But in France, in an even more blatant way. Now, and it's such a clear example, because in fact, just this summer, we're not talking about decades ago, just this summer, France in fact banned all demonstrations during the Israeli onslaught on Palestine, on Gaza. There could be not only no demonstrations, and France was the only country in the world to bar all demonstrations and protests in any form supporting the Palestinians during that time. But they actually made a penalty of 1 year in jail and 15,000 euro fine, even for any posting on the internet of demonstration, on any social media form. So that is complete shutdown of the press.
Wow.
Now, what was happening during that time? 17 journalists were killed, civilians who were in a place which each time were supposedly safe for civilians, and 8 media centers were targeted and bombed. Not a word from the corporate press about this, and along with them, we should always keep 2,000 deaths in the Israeli assault on Gaza this past summer. So no protests were allowed, no mention even on social media about protests were allowed, and yet we're told that the posting, the publication of these thoroughly racist and disgusting anti-Muslim cartoons, that's allowable. Now, it goes further, too, because France also prohibited demonstrations against Charlie Hebdo magazine, shut down on them totally, including even prayers in the streets or any action against the Charlie Hebdo magazine. Now, isn't that also free speech? If they're going to allow the publication, then the protests against the publication, but in fact, they didn't. Although officially on the books in France, there are laws against attacks on people based on religion, creed, nationality, and so on.
That really hits home, because I protested the Israeli attack on Gaza this summer along with many other people here in Ontario and in Canada and around the world. There were a lot of Facebook postings, for example, about the demonstrations that were happening, about the killing of journalists in the independent media and on Facebook. So you're saying that in France, if you just did what my friends did, which would be to post information about demonstrations on Facebook, you could be fined in France.
Fined and a year in jail. 15,000 euro fine, which is about equal to 15,000, roughly, Canadian, U.S. dollars, and a year in jail. So this is really an incredible clampdown. And the very fact that it even happened banning protests against Charlie Hebdo in 2012, when worldwide there were demonstrations against a U.S.-made, viciously anti-Muslim movie. At that time, also, France banned any demonstrations. They said no exception. Demonstrations will be banned and broken up, that even prayer gatherings would not be allowed. In that same week, Charlie Hebdo magazine put out an extra run of cartoons that featured on the cover a grossly obscene caricature of naked Prophet Muhammad. And they were given extra police protection. So you see, this isn't free speech. It's considered fine to whip up anti-Muslim sentiment and to do so in an absolutely offensive, grossly offensive way to Muslims personally. So it's more than a double standard. There have also been no crackdowns against right-wing and fascist demonstrations against immigrants that have been taking place across France.
But if you're Muslim, then you get cracked down. If you are offended by the Charlie Hebdo cartoons and you want to use your free speech to protest against that and say things about that, too bad, you're out of luck, you could go to jail. If you're Charlie Hebdo and you make those cartoons, you will receive extra police protection paid for by the state. I think this fits into a larger pattern that you've been describing. You know, for example, Al Manar, the Lebanese satellite station that's affiliated with Hezbollah, that's banned in France. That is just straight out banned, just like Press TV from Iran is banned from satellites across a number of Western countries.
That's right. Banned in France, banned throughout Europe, banned in the U.S., I believe Canada too. So, the idea that some press is not free, and as a matter of fact is taken off satellite, Google even took the apps which would allow you to access via the internet Al Manar. So this is a kind of regular thing that goes on in the name of free speech, and it has a lot to do with which lives people feel have weight and which crimes. When you think of the tens and tens of thousands of people who were killed in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and it's just referred to as collateral damage, if it's covered at all. And the journalists who tried, consider Chelsea Manning, now in prison.
Well, that video, that's
very important. Revelation, right? The helicopter gunships just killing two Reuters. These are Western journalists. And a van family stops to help them, seeing these bleeding men lying on the ground. The helicopter gunship comes back around. This is on these videos that millions of people have seen throughout the world. And blasted the whole family, including the grandmother, the child, little infant.
There was no protest by the American president or the French president or anyone joining hands over those particular deaths or among the many other journalists that NATO has killed, whether it be by the United States, by France, in Libya. You pointed out in your article quite a number of countries where the United States and partners have killed, often deliberately, journalists without any outcry by our own corporate media. You know, there's, as you said, it's more than a double standard. When we're talking about the Charlie Hebdo cartoons themselves, you also had some interesting things to say. And you referred to the content and nature of much of the cartoons in the last few years. As you point out, there's a proud French tradition of satire. I certainly enjoy many French plays, books, and films that contain a great deal of satire. There's two kinds of satire, though. There's the satire of the strong and the satire of the weak. And you argue that in recent years, the Charlie Hebdo publication has largely been ridiculing or satirizing the weak. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, because so much of this has been presented as, well, this is a French tradition of satire, and it dates back to before the French Revolution and so on. But traditionally, it was a form of the powerless by poking fun or showing the corruption, the venality, callousness of the king or the nobility or the pope of organized religion, the organized state. It was a vent, and it was to show that they weren't all powerful. It was lampooning, but also that they were enormously privileged. Now, that's a term of the powerless against the powerful. The opposite is true in the Charlie Hebdo, where increasingly it was not that they didn't sometimes satirize the Pope and the President and so on, but overwhelmingly what sold and what was protected and what was offensive were racist, really meant to humiliate the Muslim community and put it out to the world and assert that this is their right to do. This is just freedom of speech. Can't you take a joke? Now, we understand well in the U.S., big struggles have been fought against racist caricatures and cartoons and naming of sports teams and all the things that were done in the past that made racism acceptable and were a way of saying to Black, Latino, Native American population that you're an object of ridicule and disregard. Important campaigns have been waged to say this is unacceptable. Don't permit. And it's meant to harden population. So I compared it to the role that a very important Nazi publication played, which was called Der Stern. Now, the Stern also ridiculed sometimes the Pope and sometimes even corporations, politicians, but their main target was the Jewish population. Very exaggerated, grossly offensive caricatures and stories that had no basis. And it was intended to say that Jewish people deserve no respect and no rights. It was intended to whip up a real climate against the Jewish population. And at the end of World War II, what happened to the editor of Der Stürmer? He was, in fact, put on trial. That's important. Not because he organized death camps or held a gun, but because of his role in the publication, in making Nazi propaganda acceptable among the masses with disgusting cartoons and material against a defenseless Jewish population. And he was executed. Now, that's not what happened to Charlie Hebdo. Julius Strecker was his name. He was executed for crimes against humanity. The French government has just given €1 million to the Charlie Hebdo magazine. Google donated €250,000. So they are rewarding the grossest forms of racism.
I understand from what I've seen that they produced one cartoon lampooning female victims of an African warlord. They portrayed them as welfare claimants, people that wanted welfare. The cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad were deliberately engineered to be as offensive as possible to Muslims in France and elsewhere. And we know Muslims in France are not the most powerful group in society. They make up, as far as I understand, most of the prisoners. Socioeconomically, they're disadvantaged, having to flee from places where France has invaded, attacked, colonized, like Algeria, ghettoized in the suburbs around Paris. And yet, these are groups that are repeatedly pounded. People have made the assertion that Charlie Hebdo was punching down, so to speak, not punching up,
yes,
punching
right
down. And it inflames people who are victimized. It provokes reactions. And this fits into a larger agenda of the most powerful in France, as you've pointed out, who would like to see the expansion of war in the Middle East, expansion of what they call the war on terror. And that requires the division of the French population. It means setting and hardening the French against Muslims. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, France is now involved in wars which are hugely unpopular at home. In Iraq, in Syria, look at NATO's role in Afghanistan, but also in Africa, in Mali, in Central African Republic, in Chad, Ivory Coast, Djibouti. There's French troops all over Africa. They operate sometimes with AFRICOM, which is the U.S. NATO arm, but these are the old French colonies, and they are brutally repressive. Now, how do they justify this role? Unless they're, and overwhelmingly, these are Muslim countries, African Muslim countries. So the demonization of the Muslim population, and it rankles the French ruling class deeply, the Algerian independence struggle. It's still remembered to this day. And France committed horrendous massacres in Algeria. More than 1 million Algerians died in the struggle for their liberation. Many Algerians, who some of them had cooperated with the French, others for economic reasons. There's a large Algerian population who are two and three generations now in France. And also people from many other French colonies who are second, third generation and more living in France. While they're just hidden under an amorphous grouping that they're all French citizens, there's no kind of equality for them. They are isolated and ostracized and not counted. I mean, there have been important struggles in the U.S. to demand, even in the census and in the school packages and in the social programs and whatnot, that oppressed people have a right to and have fought for certain programs. In France, there is no recognition of the oppressed nations that exist within France and of their standing. So even the calculations as to how many Muslims there are within the French prisons, there are different disagreements of it. Is it 60 or is it 80%? Because they're not counted, and yet they're very much there. Completely obvious that overwhelmingly the prisons in France, as we look at the prisons in the U.S., which are 10 times as many, even proportionately, here are overwhelmingly black and Latino population. But in France, there is an effort to ignore all of this. So in justifying their wars, it plays a very important role. How to cover up and divert the population from expanding French militarism abroad. And how also to crack down on the population and enlarge the police power, the repressive apparatus of the state.
Indeed, Hollande has gone up in the polls. He was quite unpopular recently, very, very low polls, very historically low figures. And now not only has his popularity increased, but they're talking about new repressive measures that France can introduce to block free speech, actually, and to make life difficult for a lot of people. And this is being accepted as a measure for security.
The images, even in the press, of huge number of paramilitary forces operating in Paris. This is also meant to threaten the whole population. We don't need charges. We can arrest at will. If you're a dissident, we can grab a hold. And particularly if you're a dissident of color, particularly if you're a Muslim, you have no right to speak.
Not much of a campaign for free speech, really. It's just a word that they use to cover what is actually taking place, as you've described. And unfortunately, Charlie Hebdo has been part of this at times. I know it's almost time to go, but it's my understanding their cartoons in the past have reflected the French government's sentiment about a number of wars, like the war in Yugoslavia when NATO attacked in 1999. I'm pretty sure Hebdo was behind that and produced the appropriate cartoons.
They absolutely were. Grossly anti-Serbian cartoons showing Serbs as absolutely marauding monsters. Very offensive cartoons at the time of Libya. this is all, I mean, this really is a form of war propaganda. And seeing it in the same way that people would today understand what propaganda was under Nazi regime, well, we think that doesn't happen here. But that is the role that these offensive caricatures play.
Yes.
And totally distorted coverage. So, and it's used particularly in justifying the ever-continuing war in Syria.
It's my understanding that the killers in this incident may have come from Syria, from fighting against the Syrian government.
When you think of how many soldiers, there are more than 1,000 by French estimates, and it may be larger, more than 1,000 French citizens of Arab North African descent who have been recruited and trained and armed and used as weapons conduits, as saboteurs, as terrorists in Syria. They become absolutely disillusioned with that war, return home angry in all kinds of ways. Well, who trained, who organized, who gave them safe passage in? Who really helped this to happen? That's French policy. And it's also U.S. policy. So at every point, as I'm saying French, the way that coverage has been here reflects what's happening in France, although it's much heavier.
Absolutely. You know, whether you're Charlie Hebdo, you know, whether you're producing racist cartoons, whether you are shooting people whose opinions you don't agree with or invading Syria, this clash of civilizations is a choice. It's a policy choice made by individuals. You can choose that, or you can choose to stop war, stop going over other people's borders, stop attacking other ethnicities. You can stop that. And that's the kind of work you've been doing with the International Action Center, for example. So, you know, I want to say I appreciate that work. And if people want to look into that, for example, the International Action Center, is that iacenter.org?
That's right. That's right. And I would say check out both the articles that are available there, and this article certainly posted there, the coverage of actions, of demonstrations, of protests going on all across the U.S. right now against police violence, against the further militarization of the state right here, and linking that with the struggles abroad, because resistance and solidarity can be a material force in challenging big corporate military power.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on our program today, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Sarah Flounders. She's with the International Action Center, anti-war organizations. You can find her writing online. She lives in what's called the Great American Hologram, a large manufactured reality, Democrats versus Republicans, and so on. And despite all that, she can see through it. And she writes very clearly and very directly about what's going on in the United States, what's going on in other countries, how consent is manufactured for war, how they get us to support war abroad, how they get us to hate populations, and so on. And it's a very important voice in countering every attempt to prolong and extend the so-called war on terror. And Sarah's done great work on that, so we're very appreciative of that. You can find her article online. It's called Charlie Hebdo, The Free Press, and Racism by Sarah Flounders. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thanks very much for listening. And until next week, take care.